Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The text for the sermon is the Old Testament lesson. Verse 3, and many peoples shall come and say, come, let us go up to the mountain of the Lord, to the house of the God of Jacob, that he may teach us his ways and that we may walk in his paths. For out of Zion shall go the Torah and the word of the Lord from Jerusalem. And this is the text. Changing the one word law to Torah, I looked in the Old Testament and yeah, that is the word. And it is significant in this instance, but we'll get into that. All through the Bible, there are scattered verses that talk about the wisdom of God. They come collected into the first couple of chapters of 1 Corinthians, where Paul says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. And Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom. We preach Christ crucified. To those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. And then he gets into chapter 2. We speak a message of wisdom, but not the wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age. We speak of God's secret wisdom, a wisdom that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. And so the wisdom of God gathered together in one place. And when Isaiah talks about the mountain of the Lord being lifted up above all mountains, actually, there's a question that needs to be asked at that point. And that goes to, why is the mountain of the Lord lifted up? Is it because of the power of God? Or is there something else going on here? And that takes me to a question that I heard asked and answered many, many years ago. And the question was, do you believe that Jesus is the Lord? And the answer was, well, yes, because if you don't believe, you're in trouble. Exactly. Kind of misses the point, doesn't it? It goes to something that I have said over and over again. Do you believe in Jesus because he's powerful? Do you believe in Jesus because he was able to defeat the devil and rise from the dead? Do you believe in Jesus because of who he is? Because he has taken that power and instead of glorying in the power, he has used that for your salvation, and he, being all-powerful, came to serve. And it all goes to, what do you see in Jesus? Do you see him with his power, or do you see him with grace and mercy? And seeing him with one doesn't exclude the other. But when you put the two together, to say that our God is a God of mercy, that our God is a God of salvation and forgiveness of sins and life, that matters. So the mountain of the Lord being lifted up, do the nations come to that mountain because God has conquered and they better go there or else? And that verse we just read portrays the nations coming and saying, let's go and learn the ways of the Lord. Let us go and hear his word. And it is his ways and his word that draw us. One more quote, this from Martin Luther. talking about God in his raw power, that God in his raw power, God in his bare holiness would destroy us, but God wraps his holiness and his power in the flesh of a little baby and so comes into our world in mercy. And that's what makes the difference. So the nations of the world find themselves called, and it is as Jesus said, "When I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself." The nations of the world come to hear of God's wisdom, and that's why I changed it from law to Torah, because the Torah happens to tell of what God was planning to do on that mountain. There's the point. The mountain of the Lord being lifted up, but it's not God's raw holiness or God's raw power. It is, what did God do on that mountain? And there we can recite a few things. And it goes back into Genesis. And in Genesis, you have Abraham and Isaac, and they're going to the mountain that God would show Abraham, and was Mount Moriah. And there on Mount Moriah, Abraham takes his son, his only son whom he loves, words that echo the words of God the Father about Jesus, takes his son, his only son whom he loves, puts the wood on him for the going to the place of sacrifice. Isn't that a picture of what was to come? And takes his son to the place of the sacrifice, and Abraham reaches out and takes the knife. And God essentially says, okay, no further. You have acted out the story to this point, but only one father is allowed to bring it to completion, to bring his son to the place of sacrifice and to actually sacrifice him there. And that's not you, Abraham. It is God the Father sending his son to Mount Moriah that later on gets the name Mount Zion or Mount Calvary. There's the mountain of the Lord. And the mountain of the Lord is where Solomon and the temple reigned and got built. And all of the sacrifices of the temple, what do they point to? They point to the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world. And so years later, you got John the Baptist down by the Jordan River pointing to Jesus and saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God who takes away the sin of the world." But that's for next Sunday or the Sunday after. And the mountain of the Lord is where Jesus went and taught, and the people came to him. And the mountain of the Lord is where Jesus went carrying his cross, so that on that mountain he could reveal in its full completeness what the mercy of God actually means. And what the mercy of God actually means is that God says of us, of those times when we don't know how to obey or keep his law, those times when we don't do religion right, and we don't do the loving our neighbor right, and we don't do prayer right, and we don't do worship right, and we've got it all wrong, and God says, no, instead, I'll do it. And he steps down into our world, born for us in Bethlehem, laid in the manger, begins to do religion right, begins to do the loving the neighbor right, and worship, gets that right, and keeping the law does that right, and gathers together that life of perfect obedience and holiness, and takes that life to the mountain of the Lord to offer himself. So the mountain of the Lord is not where God says, you better come, and you better pray, and you better worship and do religion and do loving your neighbor, or else. The mountain of the Lord is where God says, I will take care of this. And where you've failed, I'll pick you up and carry you myself. And brings us through all of this so that we can be his people. And when the whole world finds out this is not your normal religion, this is not God demanding do this and don't do that and you'd better be perfect. This is the other way. It's where God does it for us and where he gives grace and mercy and where God pours out everything he has to bless us. When the whole rest of the world finds this out and finds out that we don't have to do religion, let's go to the mountain of the Lord so that we can find out what God has done and learn how we are set free and how it's all a free gift and how it's given to us by grace and in mercy and everything else. So the nations begin coming. You have the shepherds, Christmas Eve out in the field, hearing about the Lamb of God who comes to take away the sin of the world. Well then, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing. And the wise men, far off in a distant country, and they hear about how God was going to come and how he was not going to just be king to rule, God to worship. He was going to make himself the sacrifice. And they realize, we have to go. And we have to bring not only gold, not only frankincense, we've got to bring myrrh for the one who has come to be the sacrifice, to do religion where we couldn't do religion right. And then in John chapter 12, it's the Passover time and some Greeks come to the Passover and say, we want to see Jesus. And when the disciples bring them to Jesus, what does Jesus say? He says, and when I am lifted up, I will draw all men to myself. And John, the apostle, notes, he said this to indicate the kind of death he was to die. When he does that, he begins pulling all nations on earth, drawing every heart to come to him. And we realize this year after year, every year when we start getting around to Christmas, there's nothing like this. This is absolutely unique in the history of the world. This is the alternative to religion. It is the grace and mercy of God. And when we know that, we find out, I can't turn away. I've got to go and worship this guy. Because not only does he have all the power, not only has he conquered, not only will he rule, not only will he be the absolute and complete king of everything, he's the only one I would trust to be that. And I'd not only trust him for the whole world, I would trust him for my life. I would trust him for my future. I would trust him for everything that I am, because I know that he's the Lamb of God. He is the one who brings mercy. He is the one who did all of those things to purchase and win me, to open up eternity, to give life and salvation and forgiveness of sins. And who else do I want? I want no one else but this Jesus. In his name, amen.